tributes from all over the world have poured out since the passing away of Baroness Margaret Thatcher. She was the first and so far the only female Prime Minister of Great Britain, and many consider her a towering figure in her time. And she was one of those who played a key role in the defeat of communism in Europe. And in this regard, she had a key ally. That's former President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. They shared the same ideological philosophies, and under their partnership, the pressure on communism proved irresistible, and we saw that in the iconic event of the fall of the Berlin Wall, and everything else toppled down after that, including, incredibly, the dissolution of the Soviet Union. This proves the power of the partnership of conviction. Pinatutunayan nito ang kapangyarihan ng tambalan na merong pananalig. At kapag sila'y pinagsama, ginagamit sa lipunan. Even in the face of powerful enemies, even in the face of powerful alliances, the partnership of conviction between Thatcher and Reagan will be part of legendary history. Now, when we talk of partnership, we know of Paul's effective and fruitful ministry and mission work for the kingdom. But it will be Paul himself who will underscore the fact that he had been blessed with faithful partners, with faithful partnership. And we began this series of those people that touched his life. They are part of his story, and we can draw lessons from them. We will draw lessons that remain relevant to the ministry and mission of the church for today. There is no more Apostle Paul. There is no more apostolic office. But the ministry of the word and the mission of the church perpetuate. Wala nang apostol ngayon, wala nang Pablo ngayon, subalit ang ministeryo at misyon ng salita ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng iglesia ay nananatilit nagpapatuloy. Kaya tinatanong natin, anong uri ng mga tao ang kinasangkapan sa misyon at ministeryo ni Apostol Pablo? What sort of people touched and contributed to the ministry and mission of Paul? And those are the sort of people that we still want to bear upon the ministry and mission of the church today. Last week, we looked at the only husband and wife partnership that Apostle Paul mentioned in his letters, Priscilla and Aquila, and from them we learn that Christian availability is a precious favor for the ministry of the church. Today we will look at an individual who proved to be the faithful partner of Paul in his missionary journeys. And again, I have several passages, and if you will bear with me, they are just short. First is Acts 16:19-32. Here is Paul and Silas in Philippi, and they encounter this woman who had a spirit of divination. And what Paul did was to cast out the spirit of divination from this girl, and it led to some consequences. Let's read that verse 19. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. From there, would you turn to the next chapter, chapter 17, just six verses, verses 10 to 15. Acts 17, verses 10 to 15. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Just two separate verses more, 2 Corinthians 1:19. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him is always yes. Just one more verse, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm. Now, Silas, he is always Silas in the book of Acts. But outside the book of Acts, in the letters of Paul and Peter, his Latin equivalent is used, Silvanus. But it's the same individual. So it's Silas and Silvanus. He first appears in the story of Acts as one of the delegates together with Paul and Barnabas sent by the Jerusalem church after the apostles made their letter in order to make the decision after the Jerusalem council. It was Paul, Barnabas, and Silas who were sent, and they were described as respected men. Kaya pinagpipitagan itong si Silas, alam natin yan, kasama nila Pablo at ni Barnabas. But after Paul's break with Barnabas, he will partner with Silas in his subsequent missionary journeys. It was Barnabas who was Paul's partner in the first missionary journey, but because of some conflicts between them, from then on, it would be Silas who will become the partner of the Apostle Paul. And here in Philippi, at the beginning of the second missionary journey, we see them at the receiving ends of the maltreatment of the crowd. And not only that, we find them in prison, sharing the suffering. Silas sharing the suffering that attended the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And then again, we find them in Berea, and Jews from Thessalonica follow them there in order to harass them. In all of this, we see Silas was a partner of Paul, ready to suffer with him in the ministry. My message is willingness to suffer is the call of commitment to ministry. Ang kahandaan na maghirap ay ang panawagan ng pag-aalay sa ministeryo. Willingness to suffer is the call of commitment to ministry. Remember that it was Barnabas who was Paul's first partner in the first missionary journey. And when they returned to Antioch, they would have reported, and definitely Silas would have heard the sufferings that attended the first missionary journey. And yet, there is no showing that Silas was at all reluctant when Apostle Paul invited him to become his new partner. Nang tawagin siya ni Pablo, anyayahan na maging kanyang katambal sa misyon, sa kabila ng mga narinig na niyang pagdurusa ni Pablo sa kanyang misyon, siya ay agad na sumang-ayon. He is a man who was an effective partner of the Apostle Paul, and the reason why he was an effective partner was that he was willing to suffer. And this is the kind of partnership in ministry that we need, willingness to suffer. Why should we be willing to suffer? What should we be? And what should we expect when we suffer in ministry? Well, based on the experiences of Silas with Paul and Peter, we can say the following. These are the things we expect to happen. First, people will be offended. Ang mga tao ay masasaktan. People will be offended. But second, sinners will be converted. Ang mga makasalanan ay maliligtas. Sinners will be converted. And third, brethren will be supported. Ang kapatiran ay maaalalayan. Ang kapatiran ay maaalalayan. Brethren will be supported. When a Christian, when a servant is willing to suffer as Silas was, these are the things we can expect. First, people will be offended. Masasaktan ang mga tao. Doon sa kanilang ministeryo sa Filipos, ang kanilang mensahe ay nagkaroon ng tuwirang epekto o resulta doon sa mga kumikita ng dahil sa kapangyarihan ng demonyo. Their message had a direct effect on those who gained through demonic profit. Paul cast out the spirit of divination from this girl who was being exploited by her masters for economic gain. And when that happened, they lost their profit. And the result is that they harassed Paul and Silas. Here we learn that the ministry of the word will challenge and confront people's ungodly lifestyle. Kung ang tayo'y tapat sa ministeryo at mensahe ng salita, ito ay haharap sa mali at makasalanang pamumuhay ng mga tao. The ministry of the word will challenge and confront people's ungodly lifestyle. I am not saying, and we must be careful about this, that we should choose to deliberately offend people. I am not saying that we should speak offensive language. There are those who think that it is part of being faithful that they need to offend people. They do not realize that in many cases, people are offended not because of the message, but because of their behavior, because of their discourtesy. And this was not at all the policy of the Apostle Paul in speaking his message. He exercised sensitivity. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians 10, 32 and 33. He said, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, that they may be saved." Ay, kaliwaliwanag ng kanyang patakaran. Huwag kayong manakit ng sadya sa kanino man, mga Hudyo man, mga Hentil, o mga mananampalataya. Hindi yan ang patakaran ng Kristiyano. The Christian is not after offense, as the offense is essential to a faithful ministry. Paul was not an offensive preacher at all. But then, when we are faithful to the message of the word, we cannot avoid touching on sin. We said that in our Sunday school this morning, that the themes of God's holiness and sinfulness of man will always be reverberating themes in a faithful ministry. And when we touch on sin, it will bear on the specific lifestyle that our hearers manifest. In the Philippian ministry, it was in their economic life using demonic power. And the message of Paul and Silas confronted them. And there are still economic issues that the word will bear upon when we minister faithfully. But it may not be economics. It may not be in finances. Very often, it is in religious practice. Kapag ipinangaral natin ang salita ng Diyos ng matapat, ito ay kukontra sa mga patuloy na humahawak sa relihiyon ng moralidad. Relihiyon na nagbibigay sa kanila ng pag-aakalang matuwid sila sa harap ng Diyos. At kapag ipinangaral natin ang Ebanghelyo, ang mga humahawak sa kanilang moralidad ay masasaktan. Kapag sabihin natin sa kanila na ang moralidad ay hindi batayan ng kaligtasan at ang kanilang moralidad, sabi ng Biblia, ay maruming basahan lamang, ay nakakasakit yan sa nag-aakala ng kanilang moralidad. So whether it is economic, religious, secular, or in what other way their sin manifests itself, a faithful ministry will confront sinful lifestyle. And when people are hurt, you can expect that they will find an outlet for their hurt. They may hurl insult, unjust accusation, as it happened to Paul and Silas. It may be, as it is still happening in many places today, militant persecution. Christians are still dying today, brethren, because of their faith. Well, we learned early in our education about our immune system. When a foreign substance enters the body which is unwelcome, it activates certain substances in our body in order to resist. Well, the opposite analogy of that is true when it comes to the religious. When there is a message that enters the system of a man which is unwelcome to his self-righteousness, unwelcome to his sinfulness, he will release certain things that will find an outlet. So the challenge here is, expect aggression when your ministry of the word is with conviction. Kapag ang ministeryo mo ng salita ay may matibay na pananalig, umasa ka ng pagsalungat ng mga tao. Now, a message that only seeks to inspire or to entertain, it can be sure to receive friendly welcome. But that's not the message of Paul and Silas. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 1:19. Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. What does Paul mean by that? He means that our message is not two-sided, not double-faced, not vacillating. Our message is with conviction. It is decided. And when the message is decided, it is going to be opposed. Now, when the message has the spirit of saying, well, this is just my private opinion, you are entitled to yours, that will not be opposed. There will be no threat at all. There is nothing threatening and confrontational about that. People will just let you. But that is not the word. The word is decided in its exclusive claim. And when we say there is no salvation outside the grace of Jesus Christ, no matter your good works, no matter your philanthropy, that will hurt people. But that is the truth of the message. And for now that you are still outside of Christ, no matter what you are doing that may be counted good by society, counted good by your fellow men, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. For there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved. And when you tell people that decided conviction, that will hurt. And when they are hurt, expect that they will hurt back. What happened to Paul and Silas? They were harassed, they were binugbog sila, at hindi pa nagkasya doon, pinagbintangan sila, at ikinulong. Now, it will be likely different for us. In a free society, fortunately, we will not suffer that. But watch, in some Western countries today, they are now exercising a policy of what they call anti-hate crime. And that means, and it has cases now, we speak against homosexuality as a sin, you'll be prosecuted. And it may reach us soon enough. And the call of commitment to ministry is willingness to suffer. So in what way are you answering that call to be willing to suffer? Queen Mary of England had a brief reign, all of 5 years, 1553 to 1558. But under her reign, hundreds of Puritan ministers were either imprisoned or executed. And she earned the epithet in history as Bloody Mary. And many suffered, and many
were willing to suffer. That's why many of the writings of the Puritans reached our generation is because they were willing to suffer. Are you? This is the call of ministry. Silas was. And Paul was fortunate to have a Silas in his ministry because he knew that people will be offended. But secondly, the happy face of this is that sinners will be converted. Maliligtas ang mga makasalanan. Now, even as they were in prison, something happened that led to the conversion of the jailer. What could have led him to ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" He must have heard something. And we are told by the narrative of Luke in Acts that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What we learn here is that joy in suffering is a powerful evidence of the gospel for sinners. Ang kagalakan sa kahirapan, sa pagdurusa, ay makapangyarihang ebidensya ng ebanghelyo para sa mga makasalanan. Note the condition of Paul and Silas after they were, pagkatapos silang bugbugin, itinapon sa kulungan, and not only that, the jailer was given the order that they must be in the most secure part. So they were in the inner prison. And the inner prison, yes, was the most secure, but you can also imagine it must also be the most neglected. Not only that, their feet were fastened in stocks. Eh, ako pag nagmamaneho, eh, dama ko na yung manhid ng aking legs. Eh, ito stocks, nakatali, nakagapo sila. So it must have been physically difficult. Besides, this jailer, I am sure, was accustomed to hearing prisoners shouting curses and all swear words. Yan, sanay ang jailer na ito, itong bantay, na makarinig ng mga nagmumura, siguro kung ano-anong sinasabing mga masasama. Kaya sanay na siya riyan. Pero ano itong naririnig niya mula sa kaloob-looban ng kulungan? Hindi pagmumura, hindi pagsigaw ng mga masasamang pananalita. Nakakarinig siya ng pagpuri, panalangin. And you ask what could have led Paul and Silas in the midst of such suffering to exhibit joy in circumstances that in others would have elicited curses. Well, we can draw from many thoughts of Paul in his letters. Here is one, 2 Corinthians 1:5. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Dama niya na ang paghihirap na ito ay alang-alang kay Hesukristo. Kaya't natatanggap niya at gayon din ang kanyang katambal na si Silas. And this is the power of such joy before the message. After the message, joy in suffering is already doing its testimonial work. Again, another part of our body is the adrenal gland. What the adrenal gland does is it releases hormones, we're aware of adrenaline, that enable us to perform beyond ordinary limit. Diba, pag may sunog, biglang nabubuhat natin yung kabigat-bigat na bagay. Kapag wala na yung sunog at ibabalik na natin, limang tao hindi mabuhat. That's adrenaline rush. And that's what the joy of the Lord does. In the face of powerful enemies, they equip themselves with weapons, but Nehemiah told his men, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Yun ang kailangan natin sa gitna ng paghihirap, mga mananampalatayang may kagalakan. Yun ang daladala ni Pablo at Silas sa kulungan. And the challenge to us is radiate joy that comes from your gospel message. Saan nila hinugot yung gayong kagalakan? Well, listen again to Paul, Romans 5:2-3. Through him also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that's the gospel. And yes, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but Paul immediately adds, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Nang dahil sa Ebanghelyo na ako'y tinanggap ng Diyos kay Jesucristo at ako'y may paglapit sa Kanya, kagilagilalas na pagpapala, at dahil dyan ako'y may kagalakan sa pag-asang ito, pero hindi lamang yan, nang dahil sa Ebanghelyo, may kagalakan akong dalhin ang aking mga paghihira. Dyan hinuhugot ang kagalakan sa panahon ng paghihirap, Ebanghelyo, pagpapala ng kaligtasan, paglapit sa Diyos. Meron kang Panginoon at meron kang tagapagligtas. When your gospel blessing is truly appreciated, you will always have a reason for joy. That's what I said this morning. Happiness is due to external stimulus. Joy is inner, internal. And this is what betrays Christians who do not radiate joy. Instead, they spew out grumbling here and there. They have no gospel joy. They are gospel numb. Manhid sila sa pagpapala ng Ebanghelyo at lumalabas sa kanilang pananalita ang angal, reklamo, puna. And the effect of that is opposite to being an evidence of the gospel. It is a contradiction of the word. But when you deal with someone who is obviously suffering but joyful, what a testimony. J. Gresham Machen was the first president, founder and first president of the Westminster Seminary. On his deathbed, after learning the doctrine of Christ's active obedience from his colleague John Murray, active obedience means not only that Christ died taking the penalty of the law, that's passive obedience. The doctrine of active obedience means that Christ obeyed actively all the requirements of the law so that all the requirements are satisfied. And there on his deathbed, he sent to John Murray, his friend, a telegram that only reads, "Bless Christ for his active obedience." His last thoughts were on his gospel blessing. And though he suffered, opposed because of his stand on evangelical theology against rushing liberalism, he had joy. And that's what we need. We need Silases who, while in the inner prison, can praise, pray, and exercise joy. And lastly, where there is willingness to suffer, brethren will be supported. It was not only Paul who was the beneficiary of Silas's commitment. And our last text is from Peter. So was Peter. The first letter of Peter was actually penned by Silas as Peter dictated to him. You know, some scholars will tell you the authorship of the first letter of Peter is doubtful because it is so refined in language, doubtful for one who was only a fisherman. The simple explanation is that while Peter was dictating to Silas, Silas, an educated man, would have refined the language. And that's what Peter acknowledged, "By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him." Now guess, what was the burden of the first letter of Peter? It was addressing persecuted Christians. And he made sure he mentioned Silvanus, Silas. People would have learned of the sufferings of this man, and yet he proved to be faithful. Willingness to suffer makes one reliable for ministry. Yung kahandaang maghirap ay ikaw ay magiging magpagkakatiwalaan para sa ministeryo. That's what Peter describes Silvanus to be, a faithful brother, doubtless to encourage suffering believers to imitate him. Here is an example. Here is a model of one who proved faithful through suffering. And then remember also, why did Silas end up becoming the partner of Paul? It was due to Paul's break with Barnabas. On what account? John Mark. Paul, would not bring along John Mark again to the second missionary journey. Why? Because he quit while in Pamphylia. What happened to Pamphylia? Fierce opposition. And apparently, John Mark ay nag-alsabalutan, bumalik sa Jerusalem. And Paul would have none of that. Barnabas, because he was his cousin, he would stick out with John Mark. It's not my purpose to take sides between Paul and Barnabas. All that I'm saying is, Paul felt he could not rely on John Mark. Paul did not like quitters. They're not reliable. In the face of suffering, that's the test, whether we can be relied upon. Paul knew that the ministry will demand of those who will commit, for there would be suffering, and still true today. If you will commit yourself to ministry, there will be suffering one way or the other. Don't look now, but TB is making a terrible comeback. Tuberculosis. And there's a new strain which experts call resistant to all drugs. No drug can cure it. So it is a killer. Well, I like to think again of the opposite. A man willing to suffer is resistant to all opposition. He is a life giver. That's what Silas proved to be. And so my challenge is, like Silas, choose the option of silent support than of noisy dispute. Piliin ninyo ang tahimik na pag-alalay kaysa yung maingay na pakikipagtunggalian. Silas, as we now know, had a hand in the writing of 1 Peter. But do you hear any preacher tell you, open your Bibles to the first letter of Peter and Silas? But it's just 1 Peter. We also know that Silas had a hand in the writing of the Thessalonian correspondence, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But do you hear people say, the first letter of Paul and Silas to the Thessalonians, the second letter of Paul and Silas to the Thessalonians? No. It's just Paul. How do you think Silas would have minded that he was a silent partner? This, brethren, is the jewel of quiet support. Ito ang karangalan ng tahimik na pag-alalay. And we need that in our church. People who do not mind that their names are not mentioned. It is opposite to the ugly and noisy and constant dispute and criticism of just about anything in the ministry. Paul, I am sure, would credit the faithful partnership of Silas for what has been accomplished in his mission. And that is still proved true in history. We need, all of us, we need those silent partners, effective partners, who are willing to suffer. Luther's story will not be written without his Melanchthon. Calvin's story would not be complete without his Theodor Beza. And I can go on and on. Names who would not stand beside the luster of the men God used, and yet they were effective, loyal, faithful partners. We need that kind of partnership. And may the Lord be pleased to provide us. Imagine a Peter, imagine a Paul, without the faithful partnership of a Silas. Well, we need the Silases in our church. We need that partnership, partners who are willing to suffer. And with the suffering, there is the promise that day by day, strength will be provided. And our last song gives us that promise. The second verse says, every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. May that be our own confidence. Even as we have to face suffering, we are willing to accept that suffering in the belief that God is pledged to take care of us. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at Ama, salamat sa patotoo ni Silas bilang katambal ni Pablo at naging kamanggagawa ni Pedro. Nakita namin ang isang lalaki na handa sa paghihirap alang-alang sa panawagan ng ministeryo. At kailangan namin ng ganitong saloobin ng may kahandaan sa paghihirap sapagkat ang ministeryo ay tumatawag sa gayong kahandaan. Sapagkat tinatawag kami na magdala ng mensahe na makasasakit sa damdamin ng nagpupumilit ng kanilang sariling katuwiran o nagpupumilit sa kanilang kasalanan. So grant that we may be a church with this spirit of Silas, willing to suffer as a commitment to the ministry. We will be bearing a message that will offend people, not because we want to offend people. As the policy of Paul is, so should be ours. Do not give no offense to anyone. Yet, our desire is to please all, that we might save some. And yet the message will bear upon and contradict the sinful lifestyle and the false beliefs of people. And thus we need to be ready for opposition, even for aggression. And grant, O Lord, that we may have that readiness. And at the same time, sinners will be converted, for joy in suffering is a powerful evidence of the truth of the gospel. So may we be those who in our suffering radiate joy, and we can draw this joy from the wonder of our gospel blessings. So grant that we may be those who, rather than spewing out grumbling, will be people who radiate joy. And may we, by our readiness to suffer, we be able to support the brethren. Support in a quiet way, as Silas did. Though he was part of the writing of 1 Peter and the Thessalonian correspondence, was willing to be a silent partner. And we need this spirit in our church. Grant, O Lord, that there may be the spirit of Silas in our church, willing to suffer, willing to support quietly, and content that the glory belongs to you. So bless us with our silences to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.